Good morning. Let's open to 1 John chapter 2, near the end of the Bible. 1 John, one of the last books of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll look at 15 to 17. It says, excuse me, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word and hear from your heart. And God, we just know that sometimes things are challenging to our flesh. Lord, we just want to live by your spirit and your understanding. God, we thank you for this time. We want to bless your name and worship you. God, we lift you up today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. When I read this passage, I think of sorry, for those on the recording, you're probably wondering what's going on. Excuse me. When I think of this passage, I think of the example of a thermometer or a thermostat, and I think of the functions of both. The thermometer just records what the temperature is around us, and a thermostat actually regulates the temperature. So we have two sort of functions that in regards to temperature. One is just very passive and just records the temperature around us. The thermostat actually regulates the temperature. And so as believers, we have the opportunity to just, you know, be in this world and just to be thermometers and just to, you know, just consume and just to just experience that. Or we can be thermostats and we can actually regulate our culture and our surroundings and our society. I don't know if this is relevant to anyone here, but if you're maybe in primary school, when you're really young and there's this, you know, boy or girl that you liked. And in order to demonstrate, you know, probably when you're that age, you don't know how to express your feelings or you don't even know what's going on inside. You kind of like this girl, in my case. And so the natural thing to do, I don't know why, in primary school, is to just be really mean to her and just, you know, just tease her and, you know, make fun of her and, you know, maybe take things away from her, you know, and just be really mean. You know, we used to pick on her and you know, it just seems like, you know, it's so confusing for the girl. It's like, why does he hate me? Why does he hate me? You know, and then, but in actuality, you actually like them, you know, and so for some reason, you know, so it's like, you like this girl, but you act like you hate this girl and you just are mean and everything like that. And I don't know if that's relevant for you, but that's really common in my observation in sort of the relationships as kids grow up. And I think about that, and I think about this passage, and I think about, like, let's think about the things that we say that we hate. You know, we say that we hate the world. You know, the Bible tells us to do that. Oh, yeah, I hate the world, but in actuality, we kind of like it. You know, we like this boy or girl, and so we act as if we hate them, but inside we actually like them and want to be close to them and want to have that relationship with them. You know, let's think about the things that we claim to hate but actually love. And as Christians, I think we're pretty good at this, actually. Just like that primary school child, we act the same way for the love of the world and for sin. I mean, it's hard to admit that we do like these things, but we do. And so I just want us to open our eyes to see, you know, our attitudes. The Bible says either you love God or you love the world, and you cannot love both. If anyone loves the world and the love of the Father is in him, is not in him, excuse me. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:24 that it's impossible to serve two masters, and James says pretty much the same thing in James 4:4. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. The problem with loving the world is that once you get to the other side, you're never satisfied with the object of your desire in regards to the world. And for me, that's like these McDonald's advertisements that I walk past, you know, with the new sandwiches coming up, and you know, in the office, you know, I'm one of the first to evangelize, like, oh, you know, McDonald's has a new sandwich, and you know, and so I get sucked into those advertisements, and then I have to be honest, I have to fight it, you know, I fight it, and in my weak moments, I may give into it and try it. And all of this buildup of this new McDonald's sandwich, and once I buy it, sit down and I eat it, I regret it. And I'm thinking, why did I buy this? I mean, it's so not worth it, you know, and I'm so disappointed. I mean, it's not as good as the picture. And I'm just so disappointed in myself that I gave into that. And it just feels like the world is like that. It's like, wow, it looks so attractive, and I want it, and I finally give into it, whether it be temptation for the world or to sin. And once I take a bite out of that, I'm like, why did I do this? This is so not worth it. It's so not what the hype was all about. It's so not what the advertisement seemed to show. And now you're in just big time regret. There are three main things that I think the world says is important and tries to draw us in and tries to attract us. One of it is pleasure. The other is possessions. And the third one is prestige. I think pleasure is one of the primary values of the world. And in this case, it's the lust of the flesh. You know, pleasure says, I want to have fun. I want to be happy. I want to feel good. And these are different ways of saying I want pleasure. And we lived in a pleasure-obsessed culture. We live for things that feel good, and we pursue things for things that feel good rather than things that are right, rather than things that are worthwhile, rather than the sacrifices needed for eternal pleasure. Also, we live in a world where we're in a possession obsessed culture. We, in fact, buy so many things that we don't really need. We feel like that our self-worth comes actually from our net worth, that the more we have and the more that we are you know, what our net worth is, then the more self-worth we get. And so possessions is a another thing that our world says that you need to have. And finally, prestige. Image is everything. We're very status conscious. You know, we talk about our status, and we love having status, and we pursue having status. We want people to look up to us because of our status. We want people to think that we're important or successful. But that also doesn't have any value in the kingdom of God. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he was never interested in status. He was never interested in possessions. And he was not interested in pleasure. He was interested in serving his Father and pleasing God. And so, so 1 John is saying, look, don't love the world or the things of this world. Because if you love the world, how can the love of the Father be in you? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, it's from the world. And in verse 17, it says very clearly, look, the world is going to pass away, and also its lusts, also its pleasures, also the things that we are pursuing, it's going to pass away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Solomon is one who had all of these pleasures and lusts, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. He had all those things, and he writes in Ecclesiastes, I have the money, I have the power to do anything I want to do in life, and so I did. And I experienced every sort of pleasure. I amassed every possession. I gained all the prestige in the world that I could gain. I did it all. I tried it all. I tried food. I had women. I tried achievement. And his final conclusion is, it's meaningless, meaningless, worthless, utterly meaningless. Vanity, vanity. It means absolutely nothing. And so Psalm 119:37 says, I want to turn my eyes away from worthless things. That we eliminate the things that don't matter. And if you look at the temptations of Christ, maybe 1 John, maybe John writes this in relationship to what Jesus went through and what he taught throughout his life, because he went through it in the temptations. He went through the temptation of the flesh, the temptation of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? As when the enemy, when Satan tempts him in the desert and he's hungry and he's tempting his flesh, when Jesus has a mission accomplished as he's fasting, he tempts him in the flesh, hey, turn these stones into bread. Or the temptation of the eyes, Satan takes him to the top and says, look at all of this, it could be yours. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. And the temptation to bow down to Satan, to have all of these possessions of the world. And finally, the pride of life, as he says, you know, to jump and God will send his angels, you know, to show off his power, to show off his status, to show off his prestige. And Jesus himself was tempted in these three areas, and yet he did not fall into temptation, because Jesus had nothing to prove. His will was to do the will of the Father. His desire was to do the will of the Father. And so in our meditation this morning, as we meditate on 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, as it says directly, do not love the world nor things in this world. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with, are we that little primary school kid where, you know, we say that we hate you, but we actually like you? You know, are we playing that kind of game? Are we ones that are pursuing pleasure? Are we ones that are pursuing prestige? Are we pursuing possessions? These are things that the Bible tells us are not worthy things to pursue. And or are we pursuing the love of the Father, the will of the Father? Are we pursuing God? Do we want that to fill in our hearts? Well, the Bible says that you need to get rid of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and for pursuit of prestige. And so I want to encourage us to pursue the will of God in our lives, not for comfort. I think that's one of the biggest obstacles in pursuing the will of God, is the comfort that we are perceiving to lose. That if I pursue the will of God, we're going to lose our comfortable status, our comfortable position, our comfortable home, whatever it may be. And the fact may be, that may be true, that to pursue the will of God, you may lose comfort. But the comfort that we're looking for will not last. That true comfort comes in the center of God's will. And so, you know, that you could have a war going around you. You could have people dying all around you. You could have missiles and arrows from the enemy all around you. But if you are in the center of God's will, that's where you will find what you are looking for. And because he's our creator and he's made us and he knows what's best for us. And so let's meditate on that. If you could bow your heads this morning. May this be the word of the Lord. Do not let the world invade our hearts. Do not be like a thermometer that just allows whatever the temperature is outside be what it is in your heart. Especially in a place like Hong Kong, where it's easy to get into, you know, 40 degrees or 30 degrees with the humidity. I would love if I could physically somehow say, no, it's not going to be 40. I'm going to keep it at 27. But in regards to our souls, we do have the opportunity to do that. We don't have to live at 40 degrees or 45 degrees. We can keep it in the center of God's will through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I invite you here as we meditate on your word, that we would no longer be lovers of the world, that we would be lovers of your will. So God, help us. That when people see us, they will not see a person who pursues pleasure, for pleasure's sake. That when people see us, that they will not see a person who pursues possessions for possession's sake. That we be people who do not pursue power and prestige for prestige's sake, but we would do it because your will is what we want. So let's pray for our community. Let's lift them up in prayer. Ask the Lord to heal them and bless them. Let's pray for those who are struggling with cancer. As we know that the recovery is quite painful and rigorous and arduous. And so let's ask the Lord to extend mercy and grace and healing upon them and their families. And so let's pray for them right now. Pray for those who are sick with serious illnesses, and let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray for their souls and pray for their hearts. Let's pray for their families and their livelihoods. So let's lift them up in prayer now. Pray for those with other illnesses, and let's ask the Lord to bring healing to them. Some of them are long term, and so let's ask the Lord to bless them and heal them. And so let's pray. Pray for those who are looking for jobs, and ask the Lord to open the doors for them for interviews, to guide them and direct them in their new place. And so let's lift them up. Pray for our mission focus for Tuesday. It's China, and so let's lift up SP Beijing. Let's ask for protection over them, and that they will continue to grow. Let's pray for Leanne, who's also there, for the Chong family. Let's for Matt and Nate's parents, Bas Rabas and Edie Clark, who was here last Sunday, and you got to hear her story. So let's continue to lift her up. Let's pray for the Chi Chi Har kids, and so let's pray for China. Thank you. If you could just pray for the staff and ask for unity and for wisdom and for help and strength and healing for there are a few of us that are ill and not feeling good. And so let's lift up the staff right now. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our worship and sound and media team and ask the Lord to bless them and to raise up volunteers and raise up new people and to give them wisdom as they serve. So let's bless our worship teams and our sound and media team. Pray for a relatively new ministry where our creative artists are coming together to serve the body through art, and they're called Arts Anonymous. So let's lift them up, that the Lord would begin to reveal creativity, reveal just who He is as a creative God, a God who creates. And so let's pray for them, that they would be able to display and demonstrate God's creativity here at SP. So let's bless them and let's pray for them. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today, for Kennedy, Old Peak Road, Bonham, Kowloon, and Lan Kwai Fong. Let's pray that the Lord would bless these communities as they come together, that they would be able to experience God in their times together. So let's pray for them. Father, our prayer today is that there would be less of us and more of You in our lives, God, that You'd be greater, God, than what we can even imagine in our point of view, Lord. That You would just be huge and big, Lord. And we just thank You for this morning, God. Help us to see in the midst of our work that You are alive and that You are with us. And so, God, we just. We just honor You and we worship You today. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And have a great time in the Lord this morning. And we'll see you tomorrow.